When I was a kid, there was one thing that scared me beyond anything else. It was a debilitating fear. Now, some kids are scared of reasonable things like the dark, or monsters, or witches, or even clowns. But I was deathly afraid of aliens. Not the legal or illegal kind, but the kind from outer space. The kind that captured the imagination of every kid in the 70s, like me. There were countless shows on TV, you may remember, that depicted people that claimed they had been abducted and brought aboard a spaceship, and all they could remember was a gray-faced, big-eyed, small-statured creature. To me, that was the scariest thing in the universe. So much so that my dreams were plagued with them, and at some point, my mother had to stay in the room with me until I fell asleep. I can remember there, laying there in the almost dark with my mother in her quilted yellow robe, as she assured me that aliens could never make it past our dog, Princess. She said that Princess would intercept them and probably dispatch them, each one of those tiny creatures, with a few good shakes, because she was a dachshund, and that's what they were bred for. Now, that sounded very plausible to me, but what if they made it past Princess? I would ask. Well, then, she would say, Dad will tackle them and put them in a bag and take them to NASA for someone to study. Now, that sounded plausible to me, and I had to admit, very responsible. But what if that failed? I would always ask. And my mother would reply that nothing would get through her to hurt me. And that I believed. At 5 feet even, I was positive that my mother was the ultimate warrior that would keep the gray ghoulish fiends from snatching me onto their UFO. And I would fall asleep assured that my tiny ninja-like warrior in a bathrobe and Noxzema face mask would either frighten away or snap in half any alien that was brave enough to get into my room. Mothers somehow have a way of making it all okay. Not by magic, but by a deep sense of stubborn love, an unflinching look at the future. It reminds me of Jesus. Jesus, like most of our moms, seems to always be working it and praying for and building up and paving the way, enabling, protecting, and empowering his children. And our gospel today is a perfect example of that. Our passage from John comes at the end of a very long goodbye speech that Jesus is giving to his disciples. 2 weeks ago, we talked about love being Jesus' last instruction to us. But at the end of his speech today, in today's passage, we see Jesus' hopes and dreams for his followers, his children. Jesus starts praying for his kids, like any good mom does, because although these disciples belong to God, God gave them to Jesus to care for. Soon, Jesus will face the cross, and then he will ascend to the Father. So right now, while they're all still together, he prays for these children after their meal, just like moms all over the world do at countless kitchen tables. Jesus' prayer doesn't stop with those in the room. He also says, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Jesus is praying for everyone that has believed over the millennia, including you and me. Jesus' prayer transcends time and space. Because he is praying that all believers, past, present, and future, will be surrounded in love and with the presence of the Holy Spirit in a world that may not know God, a world that isn't always focused on justice and mercy. Several years ago, I had the privilege to go be part of a conference at the Alex Haley Farm in rural Tennessee, just outside of Knoxville. It was a gathering of a lot of really powerful and moving African-American preachers and writers and advocates. And they were there to speak out for justice and equality in our country today. One mother was giving her testimony of how she has to raise her sons to be ever aware of their behavior and how to dress as to not be targeted by the police or by suspicious citizens. There was a whole drill that she went through with them that she made them practice if they were ever pulled over in traffic. She said, make sure your hands are on the wheel. You must say yes, sir, or no, sir, or yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am. You must ask to get your wallet out. You must not curse or even sound upset. This is a matter of life or death. Now, I thought I had never given my sons that speech. I'd never even thought about that. Sasha, my 17-year-old, goes to school every single day with a hoodie on. And I'd never given another thought. But this mother was painfully aware that the color of her son's skin makes them perceived differently. And she was terrified to let her boys leave the house dressed that way. She said, and then every minute that they're gone, I pray that Jesus is in the car with them, that Jesus is in that backpack with them, that Jesus is inside of them. Jesus knows that prayer because Jesus has said that prayer. He prays for us, for God to let him be with us and in us. We pray this every Sunday, too, at the Eucharistic prayer. It seems so mind-blowing to me that Jesus prays for us. It just makes him seem so much more real and accessible, like my mom in her bathrobe comforting me to sleep. It's so different than the kind of Christianity that has existed for centuries that has tried to wring all the femininity out of Christianity, out of Jesus. Yet the medieval mystic Julian of Norwich had visions of Jesus as a caring mother. She wrote, "This fair, lovely word, mother, is so sweet and so kind in itself that it cannot truly be said of anyone or to anyone except of him and to him who is the true mother of life and of all things. To the property of motherhood belonging nature, love, wisdom, and knowledge. And that is God." I believe that Jesus can and does represent more than what our human minds can comprehend. And for us to limit the possibilities of Jesus is to impoverish our own faith lives. Jesus as mother? Well, goodness knows I could use another mother in my life. Someone who believes in me, who prays for me and surrounds me with love. And we certainly need this maternal influence in our world today, a world that hasn't changed a lot in 2,000 years, and that there's still a lot of people that are fearful. There's still a lot of people that are scared of boys with hoodies and desperate people looking for a better life. There are fears of the other. There are fears of people without homes and fears of people with addictions and fears of those with less and of those with more. But no matter all of the faults, a mom loves her children anyway. Jesus prayed for his disciples. He prays for us now. He prays for those that will know him because we receive this nurturing love. We should be empowered to give it back, to spread this love and make the world a safer place, a place with less fear and more unity and more connection and more understanding and more compassion. Christ loves every child of God, and so fiercely the ones that are hungry or addicted or in jail or without a job, the misunderstood. We can and should clear the way to set Jesus' table for all of God's children to show up and be fed, not just on Sundays at this table, but every day at every table. That is Christ's prayer for us, to be one, especially with those that need us the most. Amen.